Hey there, welcome once again to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak. Today is Friday, January the 8th. God can do all things. With God, nothing is impossible. What do you think? Do you believe that? Sure, we all do, right? Until we're in that situation where we are faced with everything that looks hopeless. We are faced with something that is impossible. And then it's not as easy to believe that, right? Now, today we're going to look at a gospel account, and this is from today's Daily Mass, where Jesus healed someone. He healed somebody full of leprosy, but there's a lot of things that went on in that process. You know, I think this is an important thing for all of us to look at, because I'll be honest, I'm looking around me at some things in my life and in the lives of some family members that sure as heck look impossible. And it's very easy to fall into despair. And I'm really feeling the Spirit telling me we got to talk about this today. Maybe not so much for your account, on your account, but maybe because I need to hear it. Because I tell you all the time, this show, the Lord speaks to me through this show too. So I'm sure that you probably could stand to use a refresher course in this idea. But we're going to look at an incident where a leper was healed, and we'll try to put ourselves maybe in the place of the leper, realizing that this was a lot to be asked for. We're talking about a complete physical healing, and whether or not that's the problem that's confronting us right now, we're going to all find ourselves, or you might find yourself in this position now, where everything looks hopeless, where there are no answers, and maybe things have gone from bad to worse. Ever been in that situation where you're praying for something and then the bottom really falls out and things appear to get better, to get even worse? Sometimes you can't explain what happens in life. Sometimes you just can't. Sometimes you're faced with what looks like an impossible problem that can't be fixed. And it's at those times we just have to rely on our faith. But let's talk about it a little bit. Let's see what the Spirit does with this, and as we go through it on the program. But listen, I'm grateful to be here with you today. Thanks for showing up. Thanks for hanging out at the table with me. It's been a rough couple of days, hasn't it? A lot of craziness going on in the country, and that's on top of the COVID pandemic, which is still very much out there. And that's on top of anything else you might have going on in your life. It can be so hard, can't it? But my job, you know what? My job here is to remind you that God cares about you and that God is bigger than your problems and that He's with you. You don't always have to feel that. I believe it, but I don't always feel it. And you know, we have a good relationship, you and me. We are honest with one another. I try to be honest with you and let you know, because you need to hear that from me. You can believe that God can do all things. You can believe it, but you don't always have to feel it. And I think so many times we get upset and we are upset, or what's the word I'm looking for? We are concerned that we don't feel a certain way. And that upsets us. And then we start to think, well, because I feel this way, I don't trust God. Maybe, maybe not. But what's important that is by faith we believe it. And you know, I really wish this wasn't the case. But God puts us in these situations where He really tests our faith. I mean, you look at what He did with Abraham. Repeatedly, the tests got increasingly more difficult. It's starting with Abraham, leave your homeland, back in Genesis 12. And where are we going, Lord? It doesn't matter. Just follow me. You know, essentially, that's what the message that was conveyed. Just follow me. I'll show you where we're going when you get there. And then leading up to the point where, even though He hadn't produced any offspring or descendants for Abraham, God told Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, who was the only hope of the descendants promised to him by the Lord. And he did it. And God stopped him. And he did that to test his faith. You know, but I mean, how much more difficult of a test could God give Abraham? But he wanted him to grow in faith. I mean, it's an extreme example. Most of us have not experienced anywhere near that kind of test, but it really does happen. And there are times in life that once you begin to follow Jesus, once you begin to commit to, you know, taking up your cross, following in his footsteps, that you are going to be tested, sometimes seriously. And there will be times when you walk by faith alone, with absolutely no feeling, just the head knowledge that God can do all things. And I've given up a long time ago trying to figure out why he allows things to happen and what's my breaking point, because sometimes we think that I can't possibly take any more. And God has to, God, you have to answer this prayer because I can't take any more. Then he doesn't answer the prayer. And then you're still standing and you think, well, I guess I could take a little more than I thought I could. It's mysterious, and it's not something we are going to figure out. The only thing that we are going to do is make that decision to trust at all times and to show up and be faithful to him, even if we don't understand anything he's doing, even if it looks like he's not present. And a lot of people get driven away at a certain point because essentially God won't respond in the way that they want. And I'm not pointing any fingers. It's understandable. You know, we are this relationship with God business, it can be tough because it's a whole different kind of relationship. When we have a relationship with a friend, a spouse, a relative, we wouldn't expect them to do any of the thing, you know, a lot of the things that God allows to happen in our life, right? You know, you treat me nice, you do good things for me, then we're good. But if you start treating me badly, you're not a friend. But God allows really difficult things to enter into our lives. And I wish I had an answer for you. I wish I had an answer for you. I have to tell you that before I went on the air, and you know, the Lord's timing is really stinky sometimes. He hits me with stuff right before I go on the air. We have a, I think I mentioned this a few days ago, I have an extended family member who's going through a really rough time right now. And this person was hit with some really devastating news that their job has been eliminated in the midst of all the other stuff. And I'm thinking, wow, like, what do you say? And there is nothing to say. Sometimes there is nothing to say. God makes it difficult sometimes, if I'm being honest. He makes it difficult for us to follow him. If he had a PR department, you know, you would think they would come up with a better way to do this. But there are times when things happen in the lives of people, and you might be able to relate to this, where they're so bad, where it's hard for you to find, if you're trying to console them, it's hard to try to find any words for them besides God knows what he's doing. And I mean, I'm not advocating that we say that. Sometimes that's not a good thing to say to a person who's really grieving or going through a really hard time. Sometimes the best thing to say is, I'm here for you. And really not offer any answers, or I'll do whatever I can to help you. I'll pray for you. Sometimes it's the wrong thing to say to somebody that this is God's will, even though it is. So, you know, there are times when you can just say to a person who's struggling, who has really no hope, and maybe somebody who has no hope or very little hope to start with, and then something even more devastating happens. They have even less hope or negative hope. Sometimes the only thing you can say is, I'll pray for you, and I'm here if you need anything. And that's good enough, you know, rather than try to explain what's happening. But I do believe that God is in charge, that God is completely in control of all of our lives, and that he works in mysterious ways that are beyond our comprehension. I believe that. And I believe in his presence, even when I can't feel him. Even when I'm crying out to him and he doesn't appear to be answering my prayer, I believe that he is answering. I believe that he's with me. And I do that by faith and the power of the Holy Spirit that he's given me. And it is possible to believe that without feeling it. Now, with that in mind, I believe that the longer you exercise your faith and the more you walk with Jesus, the more you tend to trust him, the more your feelings do line up with your faith. But in order for that to happen, it's a gradual process more often than not. And we need to build that faith through a series of asking him for what we need and for looking for examples of his providence in our lives. So it is a process. So, yeah, God can do all things. Let's look at this story today and let's address the issue of how we handle it when we just don't feel it, when we just are looking at everything and we're feeling discouraged and hopeless. So if you're there today, I'm going to tell you, it is not hopeless for you. I believe that it is not hopeless for you. And I will tell you furthermore, I pray for you and that I'm here. I always give my email address, gary@followingthetruth.com. I don't always have answers. I can tell you God loves you. I can tell you God is with you. I can tell you God is bigger than your problems. And I've been offering, I've been writing about this lately for a new book that I'm working on, how he appears to us in the storm, but that he doesn't always make the storm go away. So some of this is really, it's been on my heart. I've been really digging into the Bible for examples of this. But the fact of the matter is, as much as I don't like it, and I always say that because I want to be honest with you when it comes to that kind of stuff. I don't like to suffer. I don't like to be in a hopeless predicament. I don't even like to depend on God. But that's why he makes me. You know what I mean? Because otherwise what happens is we tend to depend on our own power. We like to be in control. And in order for us to be able to follow him and have the kind of relationship he wants to have with us, he's got to break us of that. So again, I'm not a fan of it, but I understand why it happens. With that in mind, let's turn to our Heavenly Father. Let's pray, and we'll chat a little bit about this gospel, okay? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us this new day. Father, thank you for sustaining us. We are alive right now due to your mercy, due to your providential care. If you had not cared for us from the time of our conception to the present moment, we would not be here. So we thank you for that. We ask you to continue to care for us, to provide us with what we need this day, both materially and spiritually. Father, I lift up all of our problems, all of our concerns. We give them to you right now. We ask you to handle them for us. If there's anything you need us to do, please let us know. We lift up our family, our friends, Anybody who's asked for our prayers, we lift up the country of the United States. We pray for an end to the coronavirus. We pray for anybody who is sick today. We pray for anyone who has lost hope. And Father, we pray that they, through your grace, that they can regain that hope. Father, I pray that you give me the words for this program today, and that you open all of our minds and all of our hearts to be receptive to your message. Father, I ask these things in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for praying with me. Got a little long-winded in the intro to the show, but this is a very real situation that, I mean, there's a lot of things that have been on my mind lately, but I my confidence in God is still there. I'm going to tell you that. And I think that me being honest and letting you know how I feel, you know, I feel a little hopeless at times with some of these situations. But in my intellect, through faith, I know this is not hopeless. So let's work together. Let's take it however we get it. You know, if your faith is in your head for right now, that's okay. There will come a time, it might be very soon, that your faith will make its way from your head to your heart again. And then it'll leave, you know, and that's part of the process. This is how we grow in faith. But, hey, I want to let you know before we look at the gospel, I want to let you know if you want to find out more about my work, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. You can find out about all my books or sign up for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go. Okay, Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. This is the gospel from today's daily mass. It happened that there was a man full of leprosy in one of the towns where Jesus was. And when he saw Jesus, he fell prostrate, pleading with him, and said, "Lord, if you wish, you can make me clean." Now let's look at the request. Let's take that apart and see what happened. The guy's full of leprosy. And this is a problem. There were two problems here. Number one, it's a physically painful condition. It also renders him unclean according to the Mosaic law. So this guy's he's an outcast. Nobody wants to deal with him. So he's isolated, and he's suffering tremendously. And he saw where Jesus was, and when he saw him, he fell prostrate. And he pleaded with him. Now, what can we tell from that? Well, number one, he was humble. And he recognized that Jesus could help him. He didn't demand anything. He fell prostrate. And he pleaded with him. That's not the sign of somebody saying, "You need to do this for me." That's the sign of somebody who is humble enough to recognize that Jesus is divine. He recognizes this divinity and he knows his place. And he said, "Lord, if you wish, you can make me clean." Now that is a very, very important statement, because it's not a question. He's not saying, "Lord, can you make me clean?" He didn't even say, "Lord, can you heal me?" Did you catch that? And I think that's what's really interesting about this. He fell prostrate and he pleaded with Jesus, saying, "Lord, if you wish, you can make me clean." In that statement, he is expressing his belief that if Jesus wished to heal him, it could be done miraculously. A miraculous healing. This guy acknowledges, "Jesus, you can do this if you want." And again, he didn't even ask. So sometimes we get hung up about the wording of our prayers, don't we? Do you do that too? I got to ask this the right way. Or wait a minute, maybe I wasn't specific enough, and we go back and we edit our prayers. You know, I got to say this the right way. This guy didn't ask to be healed. He said, "If you wish, you can make me clean." It's really a statement. It's not a request. Isn't that's interesting? And what did Jesus do? He didn't say, oh, you have to ask me, or you have to say the right words. Jesus stretched out his hand. He touched him. And he said, I do will it. Be made clean. Just like that. Now, this guy had the faith to go to Jesus and make that expression of faith. Lord, if you will it, you can make me clean. He wasn't demanding anything. You know, sometimes we say, and we all do it. You need to fix this, Lord. And we give him like one option. This is the way we have to fix this. Take this problem away. Or give me this opportunity. Or, you know, or something or other. I do it too. It's hard to have the faith that this guy did. Obviously, he has a need. But instead of pleading in a way that was demanding of Jesus, he just said, Lord, if you wish, you can make me clean. And Jesus said, yeah, I do will it. Be made clean. And just like that, the leprosy left him immediately. Now, that the reason I want you to hear this story is we don't know for sure whether the man believed that it was the will of Jesus to heal him. There's no indication of that. This is kind of like a thy will be done type of request. He presents himself to Jesus. He honors him by getting down on his face, right? And says, Lord, if you wish, you can make me clean. It was like an expression, like, Lord, you can do all things. You can heal me if you want, Lord, just saying. That's a hard prayer to pray, isn't it? Because obviously the man wanted to be healed. And I'm not saying you shouldn't ask for what you need. You should. You know. But I think there's a lesson we can learn from this. This person was expressing belief in God's power. And every one of us can use those words, whether we feel them or not, when we're facing our leprosy or our impossible problem. Lord, you could fix this. And then we could say, you know, please do it. It's okay to ask. But I think that expression of faith is so important. The very act that the man presented himself to Jesus shows that he had faith in his ability to do something for him. But by falling prostrate, pleading with him, and saying, Lord, if you wish, you can make me clean, no specific request. This is a guy who is willing to go along with whatever Jesus does for him. So I think there's an element of that. That element of trust or that desire to do the Lord's will, that his will be done, is really a great quality. So we can pray for our needs, but are we willing to put on the follow-up statement of, but not my will, but your will be done? Because really that's what this guy is doing. So I recommend we all do that. I think I need to do that a little bit more. Lord, this looks impossible. I'm not feeling it today. Things are looking really bleak, but I know you can do this. Have mercy on me. Or, you know, something like that. That I think that would be a great way to pray. Then Jesus ordered the man not to tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed. And that will be proof for them. And that's what had to happen in order for him to be declared clean again. He had to go to the priest, and the priest had to proclaim the leprosy was gone. That's what was in the law of Moses. The report about him spread all the more, and great crowds assembled to listen to him and to be cured of their ailments. But he would withdraw to deserted places to pray. Now, Jesus said this a lot. Don't tell anybody about this. Because he was trying to limit people just coming to him for a magic show or to see signs and wonders. And Jesus needed to you know, he had a bigger purpose to be here than just to do these healings. And he wanted to make sure that these healings would lead people to believe in him more. And sometimes that's what happens. There's always a bigger reason for the Lord to do a healing in our lives other than to just be healed, because everybody that's healed is going to die again anyway. But there's a reason for it, and we often don't see the reason. It's used to strengthen our faith or to somebody else's faith, but we can never conclusively say, well, this is why I was healed. So my advice for you today as we bring this show to a close is, whatever you're facing today, humbly bring it before the Lord and say, Lord, I believe you can do this. And yes, by faith, you can say those words. You don't have to say, Lord, I feel you can do this, but Lord, I believe you can do this. Please heal me or take care of this problem, but not my will, but your will be done. That's not easy to pray, but I think it's a very effective way to pray. It's the way Jesus prayed. And it shows a submission, a humble attitude, an acceptance of God comes first, his will be done. So why don't you give that a shot, okay? And I hope you're doing okay. You know, if you need anything, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. I'll be here this weekend. I'll try to answer your email if I can. Don't forget the Gary Zimak Show. That is available now. We'll look at Sunday's Mass readings. You can check that out from where you get this podcast. And I hope you have a great weekend. I hope you are just doing well. And I really look forward to being back with you next week as we enter into Ordinary Time. This Sunday is the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord. So it concludes the Christmas season. Next week, we're back in Ordinary Time, where we have a few weeks respite before we head into Lent. But I'm not going to get ahead of myself. Hey, enjoy your weekend. God bless you. Thank you so much for listening. And I look forward to being back with you here Monday on Following the Truth. God bless you.